This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The federal government's October 16, 2013 speech from the throne included a promise to introduce a victim's bill of rights. The government says it wants to restore victims to their rightful place at the heart of our justice system. But Catherine Latimer of the National John Howard Society has written an op-ed article arguing that the conservative government's victim's rights bill of rights sounds like medieval justice. Latimer contends that the Victims' Rights Bill is a distraction from the real crisis in Canadian justice, the congestion and delays in our courts, together with the crowding in our prisons and remand centers, which threaten our capacity to respect fundamental principles of justice and charter-guaranteed protections. Kevin spoke with Catherine Latimer yesterday. Here is that interview.
Conservative government's proposed Victims' Bill of Rights.
Well, they did mention it in their speech from the throne, and the Department of Justice had released a consultation paper which sort of frames some questions and gives you some idea of the areas that might be covered in the Victims Bill of Rights. But as yet, we've yet to see it, so it hasn't actually been made public yet.
Catherine, you wrote an op-ed piece in the Toronto Star, and I'm taking this this phrase from there. The problem that you suggested with the planned Victims' Bill of Rights is that its commitment to restore victims to their rightful place at the heart of the justice system is a concern. Tell us more about that.
Well, I think it is a concern. I think mainly because of the history of the evolution of criminal law. It did start from a place where the victim was at the heart of the justice system. So harm doers and those wronged were the primary parties to settling disputes, no matter how serious. And this led to a lot of problems in terms of personal vendettas and no sense that justice had been discharged. And generally, it led to disruptions of the peace. So the criminal law evolved such that crimes were understood as being against the Queen. And this allowed for some sort of impartial, objective assessment of responsibility and penalty. So this actually reduced the amount of disruption in the country by dealing with victims' interests, by taking it on as a wrong against the state per se. Criminal law evolved it was generally thought to be a constructive move when criminal law evolved out of a system where the victim and the wrongdoer were sort of sorting it out amongst themselves. Now, that doesn't mean that there are not currently civil laws that support victims. There certainly are services, compensation, and damages that are available for victims, and rightly so. And these should be fair and easily accessible, as well as well-resourced. But the challenge is what the role of victims should be in the criminal justice system. And to suggest that they should be, that their rightful place is at the heart of the criminal justice system really, you know, takes back advances in criminal justice jurisprudence more than 500 years.
The subtitle to your article in the Star says, quote, "Ottawa's proposed victims' rights bill distracts from the real crisis in Canadian justice." Catherine, tell us what that real crisis is in your perception.
Well, we're very concerned with access to justice and what's going on in the courts and the prisons now. So what has happened is that there's a huge clogging of the court system so that there's significant delays in processing criminal cases, which can jeopardize the success of some of the most serious cases, because if they're not processed within a certain amount of time, there's charter precedents which suggests that those cases need to be dismissed if they can't be processed within a reasonable time. And that's a challenge. Also a challenge is the fact that though a lot of accused are not getting access to legal aid and are being denied capacity to really fully defend themselves, which leads to a lot more self-represented accused and further delays. But John Howard is really focusing on the fact that there are far too many people in our custodial system than that system is able to handle. And a primary example, and probably one of the most serious concerns, is the way the number of people in remand. So these are people who have not yet been convicted or sentenced for a crime, but are in maximum security institutions, correctional facilities, awaiting trial. And at this point in Canada, the number of people in those circumstances is more than the number of people who've been sentenced to custody in our provincial institutions, which is a very bad ratio. So there are huge problems also with the conditions in these remand centers and in provincial correctional facilities because they're so crowded. This also is not very effective in supporting rehabilitation and reintegration. So people come out of those circumstances without the kind of supports and rehabilitative programming that they need to actually, overcome their criminal behavior and make a subsequent contribution to society. So it really, in effect, endangers the population, as well as being probably the most expensive way of dealing with criminal activity. So there's all kinds of problems out there. And I think that the role of victims is probably not as critical as some of the other issues that are facing us.
You've acknowledged that just and humane responses to crime must include helping victims of crime. But what would you say to the perception that those who commit crime have more rights than those who are victims of those crimes?
Yeah, that's a common perception. I'm glad you've asked that. I think part of what one needs to suggest is that the reason why an accused has rights in front of the criminal court is because they stand to lose liberties. Okay, so it is really the individual versus the state. And those rights are to ensure that the loss of liberties is done in a fair manner. The victim before the criminal courts does not stand to lose liberties through the court process. So their rights and interests are entirely different. There have been a lot of statements already that victims need to be treated with respect and dignity in the criminal justice process, which I think is absolutely true. And they should be given information about the process so they know what's going on. But for them, but for there to be a suggestion that their rights should trump those of the accused, I think is a real failure to understand the dynamics of the criminal justice system and why the accused has rights in order to ensure that his or her liberties are denied in a fair way.
Catherine, what comes next? What is the priority for advocacy work on this front at this time?
Well, the John Howard societies, all of them, we're all committed to just, effective, and humane criminal justice systems. So, you know, we will continue to support and to raise awareness about what constitutes just, effective, and humane justice systems. And there are a lot of challenges to that at the moment. When assessing what the priorities are, we like to look at, well, what is most unjust that is occurring right now? And as I mentioned, it probably relates to the fact that there are far too many people in pretrial detention. I think that's a really serious indictment of a first world country. Most first world countries aim to have about 20 to 30% of their in custody population in the remand or pretrial. For us to be in excess of 50% is a serious problem in terms of our ability to move these things along fairly. And I think we're all very pleased that Minister McKay indicated that he was prepared to take a look at and review the criminal code provisions relating to pretrial detention. And we hope that we can make a significant and helpful contribution to how those reforms can be made in order to be fair and to reduce the unnecessary pretrial detention.
Is there anything else you'd like to add to our conversation today?
I just hope that people become more and more aware of some of the challenges that are being faced in the criminal justice system, particularly the conditions of confinement and the overcrowding in many of our remand centers, provincial facilities and federal facilities. Some of the prison guards have signaled that the crowding is creating dangers for them and for the inmates. And I think that we need to really take a look at how we can address those very serious and significant problems. Other countries have embarked on policies which are intended to reduce the number of people who are in custody by providing fair and just accountability measures in the community, which are much less expensive and much more effective. So I think, you know, a major overhaul of the criminal justice and correction system is not amiss, and I hope that people will begin to start thinking about what we can do to make that more fair and effective.
Catherine Latimer, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Great pleasure, Kim.
Catherine Latimer is Executive Director of the John Howard Society's National Office in Canada. You can find them online at johnhoward.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.